the problem with the plague, and it's a bona fide plague today. Supposed spiritual leaders fall like flies at the temptation and the wiles of the devil. And it's hard to fall if you have a proper prayer life. Let me say that again. It's hard to fall if you have a proper prayer life. If you're spending time in the garden, the Lord will help you. Hallelujah.
I don't hold much with dreams. If I tried to live by the dreams that I have, they'd lock me up. And I can say in 80 years, I've probably had about 5 dreams that made sense. But last night, I dreamed that I was thinking about all the problems that we're having. And there was a big computer-like thing, but it was the Lord. And I walked up and I said, Lord, how are we going to deal with all these things? And I started naming things, and for everything I named, he said, pray. What about this? Pray. What about this? Pray. And I don't think we pray like we should. I know I don't. I talk to the Lord all during the day, but that intercessory prayer that avails much, that's hard work. That's hard work. And I thank you for talking to us so often about praying. We've got to pray.
All right. I wasn't going to say anything either, but I have to. Here's the plan, and I want to do it biblically. I don't want to do it improperly, I guess is the term. But I want somebody praying and fasting every day in November for the prodigals and for a move of God. And I'm not going to have you sign up. I'm going to have you check. Because, the Bible says we don't want to know. Well, I just would like to know if somebody, I'm going to have a calendar and a day in November if you would. I don't care if you check every day. If you want to fast the whole month, that's fine. But if we're going to have a check mark that you'll pray for a move of God that would bring the prodigals home. Nobody's shouting me down. All right. So, because it becomes work. And so, we have become so accustomed to trusting our own strength and our ability to get things done. And in our culture, when you have money, it's easy to trust in money. You just say, I don't trust money. Okay. But most of us do, because we have it. If you don't have any, it's easy not to trust in it. Don't have any, right? But so we often trust in that, even though we don't want to, so to speak. But we're going to fast and pray in November. I just really felt the leading of the Holy Spirit to call us to that fasting and prayer, and just to check mark. I don't need to know who's doing what, but honor the check mark. And let me tell you, the devil will fight you. Have you ever tried to fast? People you hadn't known for years said, oh, come on over. We got this great dinner all prepared. And you have to say, how do I do this without sounding super spiritual or something like that, or whatever. The boss never brings donuts in ever until the day that you fast. And so the devil fights you. You know what he tells you when you fast? He says, you're going to die. If you don't eat, you're going to die. And anyway, that's what I was talking about this morning. Because God is right in Dale's dream. We pray. Israel was delivered from Egypt because they cried to the Lord. My Bible says the Lord heard the cries of the people in Egypt. They were done with all the prosperity. Listen, the children of Jacob were very prosperous in Egypt for a long time. And they became so prosperous that the Egyptians grew scared. And that's when the persecution began. That's when they began to press down on them and cause them to be more like slaves than guests. But for many years, the children of Israel were guests in Egypt. They didn't start out being, but anyway. But he heard the cry of his people. And I wonder what he would do if he heard the cry of this people. Well, there's not very many of us, so what? Let's bother heaven. And anyway. All right, I'll get to preaching here, I guess. Peter and John had just gone into the temple. The man at gate beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but that which I give I unto you. Stand up. The guy stands up, never walked before, and he walks perfectly, jumping and leaping and praising God in the temple, because now he could go into the temple. And so a wonderful miracle, a public miracle, and undoubtable miracle. And so they thought it was so that the... Now, I don't understand this because it was in Jerusalem, but anyway, they thought it was wonderful for a while, and then the hierarchy got mad about it because they go, here we go again. We killed Jesus, and we thought we were done with that. Now here we go again. And so they were offended at Peter and John, and they hauled them into court like they were practicing medicine without a license. That very thing happened to Smith Wigglesworth in Sweden. He was preaching, and people would come forward at the end of the service. Understand, if you study out Smith Wigglesworth, a great British evangelist, he preached salvation. Signs followed, but he preached salvation in Jesus. That's what he preached. He preached being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's what he preached. And God confirmed the word with many wonders and miracles and so forth. And so he was laying hands on people in Sweden, and they were getting healed. And the reports were coming back. And the established church in Sweden was offended at it. And they went to the officials and said, this man is practicing medicine without a license. And so the officials come, haul Smith Wigglesworth in, and perhaps it was Stockholm, I'm not sure. But they hauled him in, and they said, sir, we have reports that you're practicing medicine. And he says, I don't heal anybody. I don't give them any medication, nothing like that. I just pray for them. Sir, we'll shut your meetings down unless you stop that. Said, all right. Listen, the devil gets offended when God's moving, and he tries to shut it down. And Brother Wigglesworth, that next night, the meeting, there's probably 1,000 people there. And they came in with their walkers and their canes for the blind people. They came in with all the apparatus of the sick people. Some people were wheeled in hospital beds. And Brother Wigglesworth is on the platform, and he's looking at this misery, and he knows his hands have been tied by the government officials. And so he preaches, and he comes to the end. He says, now listen, folks, I've been instructed that I cannot lay my hands on you. And for a lot of people, that was a point of faith. He says, I can't lay hands on you. But he said, my God is not limited. And he said, if you have a need, if you can stand, stand. If you can raise your hand, raise your hand. And he began to pray from the pulpit. And it was like a wave, according to him. It was like a wave. And God began to heal people all over that auditorium, from the right to the left, from the front to the back. People began to holler and shout, "I've been healed, I've been healed." God is not limited. The devil cannot stop a move of God. We have to keep going. If he tells us one thing, well, we'll do us over here. He said more people were healed in that service than the rest of them put together. I don't know what the officials did, but they couldn't do anything about it. They can't stop the move of God. And here God is moving once again through Jesus' apostles, Peter and John. And once again, the Jewish hierarchy, it doesn't like them, are hauled into court and to give an account for themselves and told to be quiet. And they said, "We can't be quiet. God, Jesus has told us otherwise." And so we pick it up in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Acts 4:23, "And being let go," this is Peter and John being let go, "they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." You can't do this anymore. We're shutting you down. I'm telling you, folks, it will not be that far in the future where we may have to face these same orders. You got to shut it down. And true believers in Jesus Christ are like mud puddles. The more you try to squash them out, and you slam your foot down and you try to squash them out, they just spread out all over the place. It splashes all over the place. Can't get rid of us. For years they've tried to squash Christianity in communist nations. For years the Soviet Union tried to indoctrinate people in their schools, these young kids, that there is no God. Only the concepts of Stalin and Marx, that's what our God is. The motherland is our God. There is no supreme being over people. And the more they did it, the more people got saved. You can't stop it. All through the Soviet Union, there are little house churches of people coming to Jesus Christ because God revealed to them that He was real. And I don't have time to tell you all the stories that I know about that. But I'm telling you, the Satan tries to stop us at every... Every time you open your mouth for Jesus, you have an adversary who's trying to shut you up. He's trying to embarrass you. He's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to make you shy. He's trying to say you're saying the wrong thing. He wants us to be quiet. If he can't kill us, he wants us shut up. Press on. Press on. Press on. And so Peter and John get back to their crew, and they begin to talk to them and say, "This is what happened to us." And when they heard that, the fellowship heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. I surely do miss, I'm not here to bring back the old days, but I sure do miss the days when we would pray with one accord. And when the pastor got up and said, "Church, pray," everybody prayed all at once. Hallelujah. In one accord, we cried out to God. But we're too sophisticated for that today. And they began to pray, "Lord, Thou art God." Hallelujah. I want to add, "and there is none other." In a minute, we'll talk about that. "Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea." Don't ever get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. I think you have to be a stone-cold moron to believe in the theory of evolution, that somehow a series of cells got together and there was a big bang and it set the earth on its axis and gave it a moon and created all the stars of the heavens and all, that was just happenstance. That somehow some cells got together and made a body and all of that nonsense. I think you have to be a stone cold moron to believe that. You don't have to like me. I'm just telling you, I know what happened. God made heaven, God made the earth, and the sea, and all them that are in it. All that is in them, God created it. You see, if you refuse to believe that, then there is no moral compass. You do whatever is convenient for you. Everything becomes relevant. You don't have to stay the same sex that God created you because you want to be this way or that way. And I want to tell not you, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you parents that let your children decide what gender they're going to be, you are also a stone cold moron. God decided that with X's and Y's when that baby was in your womb, all right? You just leave them alone. You know, if you got a boy who wants to dress like a girl, say no. You ought to try it once in a while. Say no when they're 4 and you'll have a shot at 14. But if you don't say it at 4, you've got no shot at 14. I didn't mean to say that all that stuff, but it just came out. But we recognize, just like the church in Acts chapter 4, we recognize who the creator of everything we see and don't see is. It causes us to come back. There is one true judge. And the judge is not how you feel. It's not how things make you feel or what you think is right or what I think is right. There is one judge and he's always right. Look at verse 25 and really the text. Who by the mouth of thy servant David the psalmist has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. So both the Israelites and the Gentiles had come together against Jesus Christ. They were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Why do the heathen rage? Why are true Christians persecuted so terribly? Why does the media members in the United States, somebody says something about Jesus and they cut them off? But if someone says Allah Akbar or whatever the case might be, they leave it right on and say, well, how does that work for you? And all of this. They shut down anything about Jesus as soon as they possibly can. And yet everything else is fine. Why are believers in Jesus Christ hated in every society? Whether it be communism, socialism, or democracy, why are believers hated and persecuted in every age and in every area? Why do Muslims imprison and torture and kill believers? Oh, we are the religion of peace. That's why you have a sickle as your symbol. Gospel or religion of peace? Are you serious? You certainly cannot be. Understand what it means to be a Christian in a Muslim nation. Depending on how strict they are, and many of them are very strict against Christianity, those that believe in Jesus. Listen, if you're a Christian somewhere, it's not like being a Christian here. Everybody's a Christian here unless they're Jewish or Muslim or something. Everybody's a Christian but don't live for Jesus. But to identify yourself as a Christian in those nations is very, very serious. But there's a little difference. They won't be so nasty to you if you were born into a Christian family. But if you're you were born into a Muslim family and become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are targeted to be killed by your own family. It is the duty of the father to kill someone who was raised Muslim and became a believer in Jesus Christ. It is their duty to kill the one who became a believer. Why? Why do Hindus abuse believers in Jesus Christ in India as if they had denied their religion of birth? And Hinduism is extremely difficult to understand, by the way. Everything's a god, the fly on the wall. Could be a god or your old grandmother. It's come back. The cows in the street, the cows and the animals around the Ganges River is horrible. And they've polluted everything. And yet it's a holy river, so people bathe in it. In and amongst the dung, they bathe in it for some reason. I don't know. It makes one of the gods happy. I don't know. But why do you have to hate the people who love Jesus and serve Jesus? Why do you have to persecute them? Buddhism. The Buddhists persecute Jesus followers relentlessly. You think they just sit around with their legs crossed and they're humming? They hate Christians. In the Far East, many believers die who refuse to give Jesus up. They are demanded to give Jesus up, or you will die. Even now in this country, the true remnant is mocked, stepped on, and very soon it could be illegal to preach the truth. Soon, it will be illegal to publicly declare that homosexuality is a sin. That's where we're headed. We're Neanderthals. We're old. We're the bad people, as I said this morning. Oh, you people, Psalm 139 and Proposition 139, you just hate women. You hate women. You don't want them to have a choice in all of that. You just hate women. Oh, we can't have candidates that are against abortion. That's terrible. Do you know what that sounds like in God's ears? Why are they so angry? Why are they? I hope. So, last night at prayer, I came up with an analogy for this, and I can't use it because Debbie will not be happy with me. So I'm trying desperately to think of a little different analogy. And it's not coming. It's just like, so forgive me. Here you have a hot fudge sundae. 3 scoops of the finest vanilla ice cream, loaded with the best Ghirardelli hot fudge you can have. And you haven't lived until you've had a hot fudge sundae at the Ghirardelli factory in San Francisco. I have. You have the finest vanilla ice cream. You have wonderful hot fudge poured out all over it. You have whipped cream and a cherry on top. Over here, you have whited dog turds. Dried up dog turds. told you I'm going to get it when I get home, but it's all right. Do you think I have to make anybody or force anybody to eat the hot fudge sundae? I say, here it is. Here it is. Oh, I can smell that fudge. Oh, it's good. That maraschino cherry on top makes it look so beautiful. It's a wonderful, sweet thing. If you want it, you can have it. Now I'm over here trying to sell the whited dog turd and say, listen, you eat this dog turd because I said so. Because you have to. Why? Because our families always eat dog turds. And if you don't eat the dog turd, we will torture you. It's the same thing. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I offer you Jesus. I offer you His blood. Over here, it's like a hot fudge sundae. If you want it, you can have it. But I will never grab you by the nap of the neck and force you to eat this hot fudge sundae. I don't have to. It's good enough all by itself. But over here, I have something far less, and it stinks. It's just religion over here, and I'm going to have to force you to eat that. And if somebody wakes up one morning and said, Dad, I don't want to eat dog turds. I want to go eat that sundae over there. It's so good, and it smells so good. I want to get away from the dog turds. And no, you can't, and I'll kill you if you go over there. I'll tell you why the heathen rage. Because every religion of the world is demonic other than Jesus Christ. Every other religion, it didn't start with Muhammad or Buddha or the many gods of Hinduism. It started in hell. That's where it comes from. That's why I use the term dog turds, because that's where it's from, hell. And hell hates Jesus. Hell hates everybody that follows Jesus. He wants to destroy everything about Jesus. He tried to kill Jesus all the time before His appointed time. And so Satan hates believers in Jesus Christ. He wants to kill them. He wants to persecute them. Right after Christians is Jews, because the Jews stand and say, God is real. God's a creator. We're still here. We should have been gone a long time ago. Israel today is a picture of God's mercy. Let's get rid of Israel because it portrays God's mercy. Israel should be no more. They're a bunch of sinners. They were apostate. They went to idols and all of that thing many, many times. The second Joshua's last guy that worked with him died, they whoosh, went into idolatry. And you know all the judges had to come along. The judges would come along, get revival. Boom, they'd fall right back. Next judge. Then you go into the kings and you read through first and second kings. And this king followed that one and he did evil like his father. And this one was worse than his father. And on it went, gone. And we come out of Babylon. They come back. They have a little revival for a little time. But it wasn't so long afterwards that they fell back into idolatry again under the tutelage of the various empires that were over them, until it comes to Jesus. Until it comes to Jesus. And so the Jews are hated right next to the Christians. But most of all, the Christians are hated the most, because we're the only faith that has come down from heaven. Everything else comes from hell, and the demons hate your guts. That's why we're persecuted. You know, don't tell me, I'm not going soft. I'm sorry, I can't go soft. I can love a Muslim, but I can't love Islam. I can love a Buddhist, but I can't love Buddha. And I can't deny Jesus in front of any of them. And I will not, hallelujah, because I've got the hot fudge sundae. And I'm not going to give that up. I'm just not going to do it. Friends, we are coming to an age where people are getting permission in this. And listen, there's no place else to go. There's not another America. We can't flee. We don't have a Petra to flee to. All right? This is it. This is it. How do you know Jesus is coming soon? Because this is it. There's no place else to go. My mother-in-law's ancestors fled Germany. They saw the writing on the wall, and they got out of Germany while the getting was good. And if you read history, you know they call it the brain drain. Europe's smartest people left Europe and came to America before the bad stuff started happening. They had a place to go. There's no place to go, friends. When the persecutors get ultimate power, it will come down on believers, friend. Mark my word, we're no different than Peter and John. And we're going to have to decide, are we going to give in or are we going to stand true? That's why a marshmallow gospel won't work. That's why we have our kids dancing to videos in Sunday school won't work. That's why just pizza parties for youth won't work. We've got to have the real deal. We've got to start training up our children the way they should go. For when they're old, they won't depart from it. Because this world's going to get nastier. It's going to get meaner. It's going to get more persecuted like your children. My grandchildren will be more persecuted. And I want to tell my grandchildren right now, all eight of them, stand, hold on to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hold on to Jesus. Don't go down the road that Satan wants you to go down. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to your Bible. Learn your Bible today. That's why they're angry. All other religions are products of hell. I've already told you this, but I was so nonplussed by it. I was sitting in a service in prison where there were Christians and Jews and Muslims all in the same thing. And I heard the chaplain say, you know, Allah and our God Jehovah are the same person. Now, they don't let you take weapons into a prison. Or I might have used it. And this was an Assembly of God minister. And it's like, how can you be so blind? Have you been tricked? Have you been fooled by the devil himself? We had a man stand in this pulpit from Egypt. His family were all killed by the Muslims that invaded their homes and demanded that they recant Jesus. And when they didn't, he killed them all. And he told us, listen, folks, if you're wondering, this was about 15 years ago, maybe even more, is if you're wondering, Allah is the devil. Allah is the devil. We don't make peace with Allah. He's the devil. Get it right. God, Jehovah, and Allah are not the same. Ain't nothing like the same. The Jews don't even like us. They think they don't want anything to do with us or listen about Jesus. Help me here, this a minute here. It's bad to live in the Old Testament when the New Testament has come. I'll say it again. It's bad to live under the Old Covenant when the New Covenant has come. Most of your New Testament is dedicated to the idea that the New Covenant has come and you have to leave the Old Covenant. We will continue, friends, to be persecuted. We'll continue to be slighted, mocked, sneered, and legally, listen to me, legally accused. Because the devil hates us. Now, I got to try and wrap this up. Go back to your Bibles. Verse 29. How do you combat the persecution of believers, the hatred? I don't have the numbers. But you realize that the Muslims in unprecedented numbers have moved to Northern Europe, France and England, and they're almost going to end up in the parliaments. They're right there. You see it in this nation. Who would have ever thought that we would have a Muslim person in Congress and in the Senate? Who would ever thought that we would be that ignorant? You say, oh, that's religious persecution. Maybe they're smart people. Folks, you need to do some study. The mantra amongst Muslim people is we get along until we get the upper hand. And then the hammer comes down. But there is a remedy for all of this. And the folks in Acts 4 knew it. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They were not ready to fold up their tents and say, this is too intense. Let's back off. Oh, let's go do this or that. Let's go hide. They said, give us boldness. In this hour of persecution, give us boldness by your Spirit that we may speak thy word. Oh, there is a terrible drought and famine in the land of the God's word being spoken. Our preachers are trying to be popular. It's not our job. Pastor, it's not our job to be popular. Our job is to share the word of God as it comes to us and give it to you straight as we can. That's our job. What you do with that word then is on you. But they said, oh, Holy Ghost, give us boldness that we may speak thy word. Hallelujah. And if you got to speak it before judges because you've been arrested, give us boldness to speak it before judges. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. Oh, hallelujah, how we need a move of God. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They said, in the face of the heathen raging, we need to have something. We need boldness. We need your signs and wonders, Lord, to follow the preaching of your gospel so that people know that we don't have necessarily a religion, but we have a faith in Jesus Christ that He is alive and He is in operation. This culture that we live in needs to know that our God is real and He operates today. This next couple of generations, they have no idea. They think church is about having fun. Most have never, ever seen a miracle in their lives. They have never seen a true transformation of a person who is a wicked, nasty man one day, but he goes to an altar and repents of his sin, and he wakes up, takes his grave clothes off, and is walking in newness of life. They've never seen it. They've only seen a little back rooms where you say a little prayer. And then you go along and you meet at the bar after church. That's what they know. They don't know that. But here, our prayer echoes the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Acts chapter 4, that we would live a life that Jesus could show Himself strong. Hallelujah. Where persecution is, and I'll be done here, I won't keep you. Where persecution is, the church grows. I'll say it again. Where there is no persecution, the church does not grow. It doesn't cost anything. Without persecution. Persecution is the driving thing that causes the church to grow. Read the book of Acts. They persecuted them out of Jerusalem. But they went everywhere they went. They preached the gospel. How the church grows is when the devil comes up against us and we say, all right, well, we'll go over here. Then we'll go over there. And they were how this world got globally evangelized is because the devil came against the believers in Jerusalem and drove them out of Jerusalem. And so some went north, some went south, some went east, some went west. But they went. And it says wherever they went, they preached the gospel. Does God honor the prayer of His people to respond to persecution? And when they had prayed, come Tim, please. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Oh God. One more time, Lord, before I die, I want to be in a place that is shaken by the Holy Ghost. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. There it is, friends. I said, there it is. It's the answer to persecution. It is the revealed power of God by the Holy Ghost. The answer is not protesting or writing letters, although about the abuse, although you could do that, but that's not the answer. The answer in 2024 is the same answer to Acts chapter 4. And that we become vessels of the Most High, and we become more bold, not more shy. The higher the persecution, the more bold you have to be to meet it. We have to make the devil pay. You hurt us, I'm going to hurt you worse. You know, that's how it works, honey. We get more bold. We're going to pray and believe for more souls. Oh, could you just say amen so I know you're awake? We're going to pray and believe for more souls. Out of your mouth, you become an evangelist. If you encounter unsaved people, become an evangelist. It is, the day is far spent. And in these days of increased persecution, we must meet it by the Holy Ghost, not on your own, but Holy Ghost boldness. And God will honor it. The answer is for the Lord to reveal Jesus in us. God needs to move in us and with us. I wish I had better news for you. I wish I could preach like the liars preach, that things are going to get better and better, and we'll hand it in a nice package to Jesus when He comes back. We'll take control of the government and of the arts and of music and all of that. We'll control all of that. Well, buddy, you've been preaching that for about 20 years. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I see the exact opposite. So much so that the devil is so brazen. He brings his nonsense into the sanctuary of the church. And we don't have the discernment to understand that the devil's moving in. And he tells you, no, it's to attract a certain crowd or that. He's lying. He's lying. He's doing it so the Holy Ghost won't be here. He's lying. Pastor, don't touch alcohol. Don't touch the subject of alcohol. You'll lose too many people. Well, Pastor, you're going to lose those people to hell. Don't worry about losing them in the seats. Worry about losing them to hell. He just moved in. Listen, anybody, keep playing to them. Give them hope. Anybody without a prayer life is going to fall. Is that harsh? Yeah, I guess so. All I know is if you have communion with Jesus, He will strengthen you. He will make you stand tall. When you should run, you don't run. You stand and fight for the cause of Jesus Christ. When the devil comes in and mocks you and persecutes you, and yet when that person comes up to you and say, I have a brain tumor, and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, and the brain tumor disappears, guess who's going to win? We've got to get back to that. But we can't get there without a prayer life. Without a dedicated prayer life. We've got to know what we're doing. It says in my Bible, we might study it Wednesday, that there's to be such strong deception that even the elect would fall. I'm watching it with my eyes. In a fellowship that my father introduced me to as soon as I could understand English. I'm watching it in the International Assemblies of God. I'm watching it with these eyes. I'm hearing it with these ears. And the deception is so strong that we have left the blood of Jesus. We have left the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you know why? Because the devil wants it that way. He wants our churches to be ashamed of speaking in tongues. He wants us to limit prophecy. He wants us to quit anointing with oil and praying and believing in the prayer of faith for the sick to be healed. Do you know why? Because he hates us. He wants us to go away. This little church here, let me tell you, this little church here is a thorn in a lot of people's sides. Because we're not supposed to be surviving. The way we do church, there should be nobody here but three blue-haired old ladies that are hanging on to the past. We should not exist according to the experts. We're not doing what we need to do and all of this and all of that. I am telling you, and I'm done, but I'm telling you, folks, North Valley Assembly of God better get a prayer life. Because the devil's coming like a freight train. But my God, hallelujah, I read it this morning, but God, He's got a remedy for everything the devil throws at us. He's got a remedy. Hallelujah. And we are going to overcome if we will pray. We've been told that the American church would do anything but pray. We will give to missions. We will give to humanitarian efforts. We will even go feed the poor. But we will not pray. And that has to change. And change quickly. Would you stand together with me? O Rabba Shandarabuki Simrite, Yarraburamania Sondurudikesai. Jesus, forgive us, Lord, for depending on our own strength, our own intellect. We repent of it, Lord. We lay ourselves before You. We recount Your words in John chapter 15, that without You, we can do nothing. We are merely branches. Let us be connected to the vine. May the Holy Ghost fill every vessel that is in this room tonight. Holy Ghost, fill us. Shake us where we are assembled. Shake us down to our roots, Lord God. Don't let us get away with anything. For the hour is coming of great persecution. And we desire to, having done all, that we might stand and see the victory of our God. Jesus, anoint these folk that are here tonight. Anoint us, O God. While the heathen are raging, may the Holy Ghost be moving. While the heathen and the Gentiles are raging, raise up a house like Cornelius's. While there's civil war, so much civil war in Africa. But raise up the Ethiopian eunuch. They got saved. Hallelujah with Philip. You know how to do this, Lord. We're asking in the name of Jesus that You'd pour out of Your Spirit upon all flesh. One more time. One more time, Jesus, before You come to get Your own. Pour out Your Spirit upon all flesh. Humble us as Americans. Humble us under Thy mighty hand, O God. May we trust in You and not in money, O Lord.
Help us. Hallelujah. 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 Turn us from spectators to prayer warriors. That we'll go to prayer and we'll fight until we win. It's not a question of winning or losing, just how long it takes. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Tuesday night youth, Wednesday night right here.